please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Never better get checked. Ain't no different second when the king goes sick.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know that I'm happy to be here, looking forward to the opportunity to share a conversation with those of you who will call in, as well as have my thoughts and the thoughts of my audience, my callers, are heard by those of you who will play the show outside of our regular time. You know, we're always here from Sunday to Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This is a platform where your voice can be heard loud and clear on today's topics. We want to make sure that everyone out there knows exactly what is on our mind and that there's no doubt about what direction we're thinking, and your thoughts will be unfiltered. You have to remember that when you talk on our show, there is nothing to filter your opinions, and we are going to allow you to have as much time and respect your viewpoint. So that's what's important. We're going to take a little break to wait for our callers to get online so that we can have our conversation today. And as always, again, we want to make sure that we allow you the opportunity to make sure that your voice will be heard.
I want some company. You look like you're just my type. You're the kind whose spirits are running free. Let's take a sip of some cold wine and dance to the music nice and slow. Under any kind of pressure, you see, we'll just let the evening flow.
Come on and go with me. I sure like that, baby. poorly educated
to assist them to raise their level of education. He also took an $18,000 bribe to help a friend of his become an ambassador. And, and he was buying vacation homes. And so he just wanted to spend the night talking about when we put our vote on the line for those leaders who we want to assist and help people, how do we keep them grounded, or how do we insist that they recognize they need to be grounded so that they don't get caught up into the hoopla and the money to the point where they want more than they already have? It's like you say, you know, it's almost like asking how much is enough. Between you and your wife, you're making $500,000 a year, and you still out there stealing. And it's just incredible. And how do we go about helping our leadership keep their head above water? Audra?
I think one of the things we may want to do is recognize the behaviors in which we're proud of, meaning that, you know, the group in which you hang around, when you hang around with people with more, your lifestyle, it increases. We know that, and that's okay. We have certain professions, you know, they make more money, but, you know, in that profession, certain things are just the standard, so we recognize that. However, instead of just, you know, getting, you know, it's always good to let people know that we appreciate you for being you. We appreciate you for being, you know, one of moral values that we appreciate and we see. And I think sometimes we as a society don't take the time to recognize people that's doing the hard work. And it may not seem like they're successful, but success is defined by different ways. When you're out there helping someone and making a difference, that's success. But until we as a society stop putting the focus of success on material things and the dollar value that's associated with it, we're going to find that more and more. And, you know, I can understand the person, not saying that it's right, but that temptation is there of trying to keep up with the Joneses or whoever, the Browns or whatever. And, you know, you like to say, you got to top somebody with this. Well, I went this place. Well, oh, I'm going this place and I'm doing that. Does that really matter? I mean, that's okay. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. And rejoice with people when they do it. But it's not a this or a that or a tit for a tat. Let's start recognizing people for what they're doing. Sometimes the greatest gifts are not even associated with money. It's associated with their time or the value or their wisdom in some of the experiences that they may share. That's the most helpful, because I tell you what, the richest people, if they are diagnosed with a certain disease and if they're in pain, it's not no amount of money that they would not pay or would do without if it meant giving them just a little relief. So that goes to show you that money is not everything, but we have to start by reinforcing positive behaviors and positive actions.
Well, Joyce, you know, here we are, and I wanted to give you exactly. As a congressman, this man was earning $174,000 a year, and he had been in the Congress since 1995. And so he had spent a lot of years in Congress, and he was well-known and a prominent figure. Again, his wife was an anchor person on television, and together they were earning over $500,000 a year. And it's just like, why can't you be satisfied and do the people's work without getting your hand in the cookie jar? And now here you are, 60 years old, and you're facing 10 years in prison. How do we keep our leadership, Joyce, from going in that direction?
Well, it's not how we keep them. It's how they keep themselves from going in that direction. And once you get on that type of a level, you know, they're vulnerable, but they got to set the standard to let to set the standard, because you things gonna always come at you. You're gonna always be tested. So they fail the test. They fail the test for not standing up for what they know should have been right. I mean, that's pretty greedy. So it let me know that he'd been there 20 years. I'm sure that was not his first time, but it was his first time and his only time that he got caught. You know, these politicians and people in those type of position, they got to realize that when you get in those positions, you can't do what other people that may be able to do to get away with that. That shouldn't even be your program. Your program where you coming in and stepping into those roles is to help your community and make them better. But I think that some of them tend to forget why they're there. And when you forget why you're there, then you go in that direction. We had a black congresswoman here, and she did the same thing, and they called her as a bribe. They set her up. And more than likely, they may have set this gentleman up also, you see. And in the end, she had a good job and the whole bit. And she wind up, they felt sorry, so she wind up working for the telephone company. But they interviewed her, and to be way up high and then to fall so low, you know, she wished she could have done that all over again. But, you know, first of all, they have to have some type of standard where they cannot put themselves in that position. Now, we did what we did by voting them there. So that we did what we did by holding them accountable to vote them there, because we voted them there with the hope that they do the right thing. But it's up to that individual. They got to know what they up against and what they stand for once they get there. And then it's just you just cannot detour from what it is that you there and your purpose. So I think it's more so, it apply more so on them more so than on us. I don't know the answer to that, you know, other than,
and
you know, I chose to put him there.
And he allowed his greed to seep into his son. So right now he and his son are both in jail. His son is in jail for taking out loans to benefit his lavish lifestyle, but not using the loans for the purpose that they were originally taken out for. And so, again, it's difficult enough to elect African Americans to these high positions, but they make it even harder when they disgrace themselves. Regina, welcome in, and I hope you heard what we were talking about today. Here is a gentleman who is a representative from Pennsylvania who is making nearly $200,000 a year and was still stealing from the federal government. When he'd get money for special programs, he was finding ways to line his pockets instead of doing the work of the people. And assisted one of his friends in getting an ambassadorship where he took an $800,000 bribe. And so now he, at 60 years of age, he's about to spend 10 years in jail.
Yes, I heard, and I read the article. And as you know, last night when I first came on, I told you I was on my way to class and that I wouldn't be able to stay for the whole program. And ironically, that class that I was that I had to take last night was a class on ethics, and it outlined for us, for those of us who were there, as elected commissioners, I'm sorry, appointed commissioners. It outlined for us what we could and could not do. And so that gave me a whole new way of looking at things. And the bottom line is with this gentleman, I'm sure when he was elected that he had to take those courses, and he knew what he could do, and he knew what he could not do. Now, more than likely, he saw some of his counterparts doing some things and getting some money, thinking he could get away with it like they were. No, no, no. No, no, no. The microscope is so focused on you as an African American, and then your wife is a very newscaster. You all are on a high powered, under a high powered microscope.
Amen.
And that's where common sense came in. And as someone said to me the other day, and I think it was an Oriental person, I was surprised that common sense is not so common. So not only in our culture, but in other cultures too, they know that. Common sense
cannot allow money to become your God, and you can't be, you know, you can't think you're so much smarter than everybody. Andre, you know, I think that's what dooms so many people, is when they start believing in themselves and their intelligence so much that they think they can get away with things, and when people are paying attention. You know, and we have so many of our politicians who just can't seem to stay above the fray. You know, we had, a few years ago, we lost some great politicians, the mayor from Detroit, and also Chicago, where you had a son of one of our famous leaders, and I don't know why, it's Jesse Jackson's son, who fell prey to going to jail. And it just hurts your heart because there's so much good they could do if they just remembered that they're there for the people and not for themselves. Andre?
Yes, and that's the reason why I say it's so important that we remind them of the behaviors and expectations that we're looking for and expecting to help them to, again, make the decision. And it was stated earlier, everyone is accountable for their own actions, yes. And when we see elected officials behaving in a way in which we are appreciative and what we expect, we need to acknowledge that so that they can keep trying to do that. But unfortunately, sometimes people are just greedy. They just want more and more and more. And we are, of course, on the outside looking in and always hindsight. But it's so disappointing because they have to know that they're not only representing themselves, but they're representing those who elected them and placed them in that position.
And the sad thing is that they know that we fight so hard to get the few leadership positions that are available to us, and when that kind of thing happens, it puts us further and further back. And what you want to say is, we don't want them not to have money. Listen, get into a situation where you get paid to go speak. We don't mind you getting opportunities to make investments because of your name, all those kind of things. A lot of politicians take advantage of, of speaking fees. They get the opportunity to write books, and because of their name and their popularity, they make a lot of money off their books, and we understand that. But to be stealing from the government, knowing that the penalty is so high, it just doesn't seem to make sense to me why you would allow yourself to take that option, Joyce.
Yeah, that's true. Like Andre had indicated, that they get so that it's greed is not enough. And they tend to think that they that they're not us anymore. They cannot identify as to who they are and why they was put in that position. That's the way I feel. Just because the white boy may be able to get away with it, what makes you think that you can do what he does and get away? I think they forget who they are and that the rule does not apply. Even though it's supposed to apply the same rules and the regulations, it does not apply that way. Until we learn that, and I don't care what kind of position and how powerful we are, until we're able to write our own paycheck, you're still working for someone else, and the rule will always change. When it comes to you, you are not under the same rules and regulations that the average Joe is under. And we got to realize that once we get in those key positions, you got to be straight and you got to be arrow. You got to dot your I's, cross your T's, and go by the books. Because the same, that's what they're going to penalize you for, because you failed to go by the books. Even though Jack did it, you're not Jack. And Jack always have someone else in his pocket where they're going to put a bug in his ear and let him know what is coming down the pike. When we get in those positions, we don't have no one but ourselves to depend on. And it's our job to get in those key positions and bring people up and teach them the rope the right way.
And, Regina, why can't they learn from the past people that they saw things happen to? Because, you know, here you saw the governor of Illinois go to jail for possibly selling Barack Obama's seat in Congress. And you saw Jesse Jackson's son go down. And then you saw, again, what was the mayor of Detroit's name? I forget his name.
Mayor Barron. Barron, wasn't it? Barron.
Yeah, now this guy... Fitzpatrick was supposed to be one of the golden stars until he just started smelling himself, and these people saw all of that happen. Why couldn't they learn from that, Regina?
As someone has already stated tonight, and it really makes sense, politicians, when they're elected by the people, but then all of a sudden they seem to get a mentality that they are above the people who elected them, and they have a certain status that they must maintain. So once they get to that status and they're above all of these other people who elected them, then they want to be above the Jack. If you understand what I'm saying, they want to be above the white folk then. So it's okay for you to be above your own people. The white folk are going to watch you to make sure you don't get too strong. But then when you try to become more powerful than they are, oh, that's a whole nother issue. And we do not understand. Well, no, we understand it. We just think we can get away with it. And don't care what you say, you're not going to get away with it. Whatever loophole that you're thinking that you can get through, someone's on the other side of that loophole with their hand up, they'll take your head, mush it, and push you right on through that loophole. Push you back.
And it was stated that it looks like he received even more time than some of the normal other congressmen have received, and they just don't understand that. You know, we have to be mindful that we don't get to write the rule book, and those people in charge of the rule book are going to be looking to really lay it on us hard when we make mistakes, and there's no way to recover. Jesse Jackson Jr. will not recover, and none of those other guys are going to recover. And there's too much to risk by putting yourself out there, and you know when you're doing wrong. They didn't mistakenly do those things. They know when you got money, ill-gotten gains, you're very much aware that money was ill-gotten. You weren't fooled about what you were doing. So, Andre, you know, it wasn't like it was a mistake. They know fully well where that money was earmarked for, and they guided it right into their own pocket. Andre?
Yes, they were willing to take a chance. And, again, they saw an opportunity, and they looked around, and they figured that because of who they were, that they were bigger than that. And, unfortunately, it did happen. And you were right, because not only did it impact them personally and along with their family and all, but those that's coming behind us, see, that's what we are. We are positioned such that we can continue a legacy for the generations that to come behind us. And so by making those, taking those actions that really make it tougher for those that come behind us, because they'll constantly show, you know, throw those instances up and say, you know, this is why you won't be there and all the negative. It's just like for the longest time in football, people were saying that quarterbacks couldn't be black because they couldn't think of it. And now we're starting to see a difference. But I tell you, everything that occurs is not just for that individual. It's for the children, the youth that's coming behind us, and that's what we have to always be mindful of.
And that's one of the things that we can so be so proud of in terms of Barack Obama and his family, was they didn't do anything to disgrace our vote or to disgrace our commitment and loyalty to them. And it would have been so nice if more and more of our leadership followed their lead and made sure that they stayed away from those kind of those kind of things that would pull them into that kind of ill-gotten money. Because there's enough honest money out there. I mean, there is enough honest money out there for those people who elected to federal government to take advantage of without them being out there taking bribes or trying to legislate funds of money that they control and then using them incorrectly. And, Joyce, I know that you are very fond of the First Family, and I just like, you know, How does it make you feel that they got through their 8 years without being doing anything that was a disgrace?
Well, without being tainted, because they knew they knew what they was up against going in. They knew their role. They stuck together as a team. They knew that it was bigger than what they are. They know that they had to pave the way. They know that they was laying a platform of a legacy there. So they knew what they was up against. They knew what the challenge was, and they was up for the test. And believe me, no stain on their record, no stain. And all this, where they're going to go ahead and they're going to strike this and this and this. But he will go down to me as one of the most successful ones because he's the first one to lead the way. Believe me, there are others that's going to come behind them, but they're trying to make it so hard that there won't be. But He knew what the challenge, the whole family knew what they was up against, and they were a tight knit. They tried to destroy the family at the onset by trying to discredit and ridicule Michelle Obama, but she held herself high. She didn't even have to speak because she let the public speak for her. You know, even with just recently, I see that they reversed that charge for the person who said those negative things. They reinstated that person. It is so sickening that was on the news today. It's sad, but you know I commend them because they knew what their role and they made nothing but blacks proud, the minority, very proud.
And it lets you know that a lot of times it's just the nucleus of the family that has a lot of style, but you do realize that. Even his mother-in-law, Michelle's mother, did not make any news. She didn't try to go in there and try to take control. She had a very quiet and professional presence where she was just not heard and did nothing to try to upstage the First Family. And there are so many leaders who need to look at them and use them as a model of how to behave and what their focus should be, and not be in there for their own greed. Regina, you know, I mean, didn't they not show a perfect model for all other African-American or people of color to follow?
Well, you mentioned the mother-in-law, but you heard nothing negative about the extended family itself, other than President Barack Obama's half-brother. Other than that, and you didn't hear anything negative about him, just, you know, what he was trying to do politically. But, yeah, it's been a wonderful 8 years, and I'm still holding out that something is going to occur that we're going to need him to stay in office for a little while longer. I'm going to hold out.
I cannot imagine what that could possibly be, Regina.
I can, and I'm holding out. I'm not going to put it in the atmosphere because, you know, other folk are always listening. And I'm not going to give them the idea if they don't already have it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have, there is something that can be done. And I am praying. I'm praying
well,
that it's going to be.
I have heard that there are some people who are supposed to be voting soon who were requested to be able to vote in another direction. But I don't think it's going to be enough people who are determined to vote outside of what they've been charged to vote. So I don't see that happening. But I just want our leadership, those are people who we have voted and put in charge, to recognize the value and the importance of what they serve so that they don't get caught up into this self-centeredness that seems to be, you know, we here in Florida dealing with the issues that are going against Corrine Brown, and hopefully she won't be another individual who's brought down by the prosecutors related to some of the things that they suggested she's done. But we have to get people to stop believing that they become gods and that they can just, you know, fill their pockets again with ill-gotten gains, and recognize that their freedom and their name is more important than any amount of money that they could get away with, and that what's important is their service to the people. If you don't allow yourself to get away from what your first job is, which is the service to the people, to make lives better for the people, your life will benefit from your hard work and your service to the people. But when your service becomes your service to self, that's when the floodgates will open and your downfall will begin. And we've seen so many stories, Audrey, us as believers, we know that that is the end for people who start believing in themselves. Biblically, it has always been that way, right?
Yes, the scripture tells us that pride comes before the fall. But I do want to back up a minute and kind of follow up what was said about our first family. And it is our charge to make sure that their legacy continues, because not only was he the first black president, but again, that family nucleus was prepared and equipped, because you have to imagine that people searched high and low for anything negative to try to bring him down and reflect negatively, not only on himself, but on his family. And as someone said too, that extended family carried themselves in a manner in which nothing was negatively you know, displayed. So we have to make sure that we tell our children that, because if things go the way they look, the next president will try to kind of discredit a lot of the positive that was implemented. So we as a people, just like the Jewish people, they make sure that their history, their religion, their religious values are carried out, and they do so because of the fact that they talk and they tell the story from one generation to the next. So let us make sure that we highlight the accomplishments that were achieved. Could they have been more? Yes. But let's just focus on what was and let that not be forgotten. So we have that challenge in front of us.
Well, certainly, if there was any dirt that could have been thrown, it was thrown, and nothing stuck because nothing was true. And so there's so much that had Barack and Michelle not been clean like they were, that they would have been, I mean, there was enough talk already. You know, I was looking at how Donald Trump's wife is already involved in a lawsuit about some of the things that have been come out and said about her. And I was thinking to myself, my God, Michelle could have sued hundreds of people who came out and said things about her that weren't true. You know, I mean, when they tried to say that she was a transvestite and she didn't father, she didn't mother those children, and she was a man and they changed her to a woman. I mean, they said so many cruel things about this woman that she could have sued about that was nowhere near the truth. It just is amazing that here we are at this point where Tavara is not even is the first lady yet, and she's already suing people for saying derogatory things about her. What are your thoughts about that, Michelle, that she's already in court talking about people who said that she used to be an escort?
Well, Michelle lived her theme. When people went low on her, she went high. So that wasn't just something that she came up with during Hillary's campaign. She lived that fact. And to me, whenever the situation was presented herself, she always carried herself in a classy, professional manner. And again, she was demonstrating that behavior for her children as well as other children across the United States and across the world. So that tells you a lot about your character. When you face with negative, how you respond defines your character. So she has a strong character. Again, she lived the theme of when they go low, you go high.
And this is a classic way she was. Going back, George, to what that lady said, that, you know, when she made the statements about she was glad that they were going to finally get a classy first lady and not an ape in heels. Can you even imagine that this woman making that kind of statement, being that Tavara was once a topless model, and here Michelle's life has always been one of service and one of excellence, and is one of the most beautiful first ladies we've ever had, and she had the nerve to make that statement, and you're right, it is almost like a slap in the face that they're going to be giving her job back. It just tells you that there are people out there who just don't care about what it says, the statements they're making, or what it says to people of color when they do these kinds of things.
It just shows you that the mentality and the direction that the country is going to. It's like we're stepping back in time. Now we got to start all over again from the bottom and fight your way back up to the top to earn and demand the respect that you deserve. You see, the legendary, as far as the respectability of the office, of the role, of the position, that's leaving January. That's going to be gone January. We're moving into rootlessness. He's controlling people. He wants everybody to look at his feet. He's going to be begging you. Look how he's controlling everything now. He's controlling everything the way that he wants to. Who puts stuff out there like that in the media?
he's dictating, and he's saying that he's so smart, he don't even have to listen to security. He don't have to listen to all that stuff. So what he's trying to say, that all the ones who came before him were dummies. He's the man. This is ridiculous. We're in trouble. It's scary.
You're so right. We're definitely taking ourselves to a place that is just unbelievable at this point. We're going to take another short break, and we're going to come back and continue our show.
Father, help your children, and don't let them fall by the side of the road.
You know, as we go into these next 4 years under the leadership of Donald Trump, we have to recognize that we have to pay even more attention and be on guard to make sure that we don't allow our rights to be eroded, that we don't allow people to disrespect us in a way that takes us back beyond the 1970s. We have to be on guard and prepared to fight to maintain our rights in every way possible and to be out there encouraging people to participate and get involved in the voting process so that we can have more strength when it comes time for the midterm election. We cannot give our life over and our future over to people who don't understand the importance of being fair, who don't understand the commitment to the American dream, and that all of us have the right to be governed by our own skills and commitment to turning our talents into treasures. And so you are right, Joyce, as we find ourselves in this ugly situation, we have to be prepared to be on guard and fight with all our might to keep this ship righted before things get out of hand. And so
that's
I am
true.
And, go ahead.
And particularly, we need to start talking to our young people because our young people got to let us, you know, people saying, well, you know, it's the generation. No, you got some racist young people. It's ridiculous. If it was on the news early this morning, I like getting up watching all kinds of news, particularly in the morning time. This waitress, Seattle, she was a waitress, and she said that these teenagers, they came that Friday night, and they did okay. But the next day they came, and they said, instead of tipping her, they said, Trump build the wall. But she was Korean-oriented, but she was there legally. But that's what, and that went viral because
right.
she said that. Well, am I getting the story right? You heard about it, right?
Yes.
That was early this morning. So that lets me know that it's not a generation thing. It's not the old people. It's the young people, too. Some of our young people are thinking this way, and our young people, our kids, we got to let them know that everybody don't like you. Everybody don't think the same way, and you're not like them. You're different. You're better to me. You're better than that. This is who you are. This is your blueprint. This is your trademark, and we need to start instilling that into them to be able to judge people and let them know that, you know, everybody's not showing you their true color. You're going to have to listen. You got to pay attention, and you got to know who you're dealing with so you won't get hurt out there.
And what we also have to invest in getting them prepared. You know, when the midterm elections come, our 14-year-olds will be able to vote. And so we need to make sure that all those 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 14-year-olds, and 13-year-olds are prepared to go in there, fill out the proper paperwork, and become a part of this movement to right this boat that has been kind of put on its side. And we have to be ready and prepared to do whatever we need to do to encourage them to get involved. And those who weren't involved this time need to know that they got to be involved the next time.
And welcome through the process. Welcome through the process. It was an honor for me that the day that my son was able to vote, he came and picked me up on the lunch hour, and we stood in line at that church, and we stood and we stood. It was about 2 hours, but I was letting them know it was a reason. This is your first time to vote. This is what it means to you, because where we voted was, it was not that many minorities, but those people come out and drove. And we was there. It was way longer than anticipated, but I let them know that it was worth that vote. It was worth that vote. So we got to walk to the process. We don't have to tell them, because a lot of times they're going to put it off. No, we need to walk them through the process too. We need to hold them sometime by the hand and guide them through the way.
And let them know how important it is, and how important it is to their future, that they don't think that this is just something to ignore, that these people really in our Congress and in our Senate and as the president, they have an impact on our lives, and we have to have the right people in the proper places to make sure that we have people who are sensitive to our needs.
Exactly.
Well, we're at it goes by so fast and so quick that he say that all the time. We're at the end of another hour, and we will see you all again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern time. But we want to just stay on top of things. We want to encourage our leadership to stay on the right side of the law. We want them in place so that they can serve the public's needs, and we want them to understand that we appreciate the job they do, and that we don't mind them enriching themselves, but we want them to enrich themselves in a way that does not jeopardize their freedom or the lives of their family. So it's important that those of us who are citizens make sure we encourage our representatives to stay on the right side of the law and not allow themselves to get caught up in greed and jealousy that then jeopardizes their legacy and their name. I want to thank you so much, Joyce, for calling in, and also Andre and Regina. I am so happy to have you being a part of my team, and I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow at 6 p.m. on Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
someone else can make